gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Get it, go. Get them tickets going fast for everything. Somebody had a great tweet. Big D Tim said, I was told if I liked my 60 Minutes Benghazi story, I could keep it. See, people want to hang on to crap. Because, okay. Because it was not good.
Right.
All right. We have Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com mm-hmm. with some hilarious stuff as usual.
He's wicked smart.
Right? Totally. And Dean Abadallah, who had some great Chris Christie article.
Yeah.
By the way, Greg says, Steph, Christie says because he's on the cover of Time, he must be doing something right. Weren't Hitler and Bin Laden on the cover, too?
Yeah. They were.
I get the first Hitler reference.
Not at the same time, but.
Winner, yeah. Winner, chicken dinner.
Wow, it's 7 after the hour.
Right? He just wanted to
get. Hitler was man of the year, actually.
He was.
Yeah. You got to get up early to get one in before Jim Ward. Just saying.
And Time has always said that man of the year doesn't mean they've done something
good.
It just means they've
something
had the most impact on the world.
Maybe you're just, for instance, big and loud and wrong.
Sure.
And have a really crappy economic record, as Dean Abadallah tells. Would you like some of the fun facts?
Sure.
That Dean wrote about. That's what he was saying. That if he can't, you know, people are always like, oh, can he be president? Can he win the primary? This, that. He said if he has to run his record, you know.
Computer says no.
It's craptastic.
Yeah.
Some of the not-so-fun facts in Jersey. New Jersey's unemployment rate is 8.5%, considerably higher than the national rate of 7.3%, making it 41st in the nation.
Wow.
New Jersey ranks 44th in job growth during Christie's governorship. Three major credit agencies have cut the state's credit rating since Christie became governor, making it costlier to borrow money. In 2011, Jersey was one of the 7 U.S. states whose economy shrank. The state ranked, or maybe just looked smaller next to Christie.
I'm sure some of it had to do with the hurricane, too.
Right.
State, and the hurricane was big boned.
You calling the hurricane fat? The state ranked 47th in terms of GDP growth. Jersey tied for 50th in the Tax Foundation's annual record, which ranks which states have the most business-friendly, translation lowest taxes. Plus, the tax burden grew by over 18.6% for the average family mm-hmm. under Christie. Mortgage delinquencies increased 2.8% since Christie took over, the highest of any state in the nation.
With a bullet.
Plus, well, home prices down 6.7% in that time, putting Jersey in the bottom quarter of all states. The poverty rate in Jersey has reached a 52-year high with 24.7% of the state below the poverty.
Well done.
Well done. Nicely done, sir. Nicely
done. And also, did you see a new NBC News poll says that if Christie runs for president in 2016, just 32% of Republican respondents say they would vote for him, while 31% preferred another Republican candidate?
Right.
So his nomination...
Some unnamed other blank.
Yeah, his nomination is not a lock by any stretch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's interesting.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. You get this, you know, sort of media creation, and then you look at the underlying, it's picking up a rock, and you're like, ooh, it's potato bugs, and what
millipedes.
The hell, what's that, right?
Yeah.
Things with too many legs entirely. Oh, although the Stephanie Miller Show does wish to apologize, this was pointed out to me, because I think someone was talking about the, the Sopranos. So there may be some mob stuff, is all they're saying.
What?
Maybe.
In Jersey? Get out.
Oh, with Christie?
Right.
Yeah.
Are you saying he's in the construction business?
Right.
Some members of his family might have some questionable...
Well, this is why Mitt Romney, they say, didn't pick him, because they were like,
yeah!
What?
Yeah.
Don't look too closely at that...
They weren't able to cement the relationship.
Oh, I didn't get to my apology.
Oh, okay.
I had said, unfortunately, he does look like a character when I first saw him.
Sure.
I did, and so yesterday I said, oh my God, big pussy is governor. Stephanie Miller Show apologizes. It's Bobby. He looks like Bobby Baklava on Sopranos, not big pussy. Mm. I apologize.
I wasn't a watcher of the Sopranos.
Oh, really? What's wrong with you?
You didn't pay me enough to afford HBO at the time.
Bobby, the guy that married, Bobby married,
I watched
Janice.
It a few times. I just,
Tony's sister.
I saw all 3 Godfather movies.
I haven't even seen The Godfather.
Really?
Yeah. So
oh, wow.
I
been there, done that. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. So lots more talk, obviously, about the Affordable Care Act. Oh, and this—the reason I'm going to need it—I mentioned. Can you see this? Can you still see that? I mentioned yesterday about a story about what a giant loser I am, that I got in a fist fight with my own bed that I lost.
Well, you tripped over like a pile of garbage that was at the side.
I did not. There's not garbage in my bedroom.
There's one bottle.
I got up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and I stepped on an empty Gatorade bottle on the floor, and I smashed my chin into the bottom of my bed.
Okay.
So I technically got in a fist fight with my own bed, and
sure.
I lost.
All right.
Julie from Seattle, a helper, like all of Mama's listeners. Staff, I suggest you review this Mayo Clinic advice on how to avoid another fall over a Gatorade bottle or a lounging Great Pyrenees. Or get one of those little "I've fallen and I can't get up" buttons you wear around your neck.
Life alert. Yeah.
Which will go directly to you.
Sure.
Except you'll block it probably. See, I don't care.
Of course I'll block it.
She fell again.
It goes directly to C. Everett Koop.
This is sort of bad, but I have a friend whose mom falls a lot, and at this point she's like, oh, she's fine. She'll be fine.
Don't help
That's
her.
What you're going to be like with just me. You'll be like, oh, she fell again.
Yeah.
The life call, you'll just go off all the time. You'll be like, ugh. Sitting around with friends now, it's just she fell.
No, just Gatorade bottle again.
I got her helmet. She's
I put that call on block.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Would you like the fun facts from the
sure.
for all of us elderly? Might want to pay attention. I did not realize there's such comprehensive advice about falls.
Oh.
But I guess since I've begun the falling phase of my life.
Remember, you have brittle bones now that you've
right?
entered the menopause.
Right? I have little Assad neck bones everywhere.
Just a little delicate bone.
Snip, snip. What was that? Oh, it's my ankle.
That was just weakness leaving the body.
I am made up entirely of Assad bones. Yeah. Delicate, delicate little bones.
Little bird bones.
Bird bones.
Sparrow. Assad bones. Sparrow. Fall prevention. Six tips to prevent falls.
Mm.
Oh, and see? Now we need a helper for our computer music again. All right. This is directly from the Mayo Clinic for all y'all elderly shut-ins like Mama. Number one, make an appointment with your doctor. Oh, I need to have preventative advice. Begin your fall prevention plan.
Oh.
Wow. Hey, I need to start having a plan.
First, cancel gravity.
Right.
Don't pay the gravity
right.
bill.
Right. Cancel my lifelong spazziness. Begin your fall prevention plan by making an appointment with your doctor. Really? Is this the point I've gotten to in my life I need to discuss with my doctor? Be prepared to answer questions such as, what medications are you taking?
Wine.
Carte Bordeaux. Yes.
Yeah, wine.
Yes. Have you fallen before? Clearly, yes.
Yes.
Before the aforementioned Carte Bordeaux. Number three, could your health conditions cause a fall? Drunkenness? Yes.
Yes.
However, in this case, I was not drunk. I was hungover in the middle of the night going to get water.
Well, that's...
Tripping over something that was rehydrating you.
Right.
Or would have.
From the aforementioned. Number two, keep moving. Well, isn't that the problem in the first place? Yeah. If I would just stay stationary, perhaps...
If you would have stayed in bed, this wouldn't have happened.
Right. If I would have just held my water...
That's always been my principle. Just stay in bed. Just don't...
You need a catheter.
Like Sybil's mom said.
A stadium buddy.
Yes. That's what you need.
I need a motorized scooter next to the bed. And
yes.
I need, right.
No.
And you
no.
need to order your catheters off the TV. The easy insert kind.
When I'm already there getting my wax.
That's
back,
right.
My
yeah.
wax back.
These catheters hardly hurt at all.
Ow. They hurt a lot less than earwax.
Ow!
Ow!
Okay, keep moving. Physical activity can go a long way toward fall prevention. Well, that just seems counterintuitive.
Yeah.
And could I do spinning class anymore? Hiking? I don't think so. Oh, number three, wear sensible shoes. Well, I'm already a lesbian. Of course I do.
Uggs are pretty sensible.
Well,
I mean,
if it's
by
definition,
I am a woman in sensible shoes, right?
Yeah. Although, it's supposed to be 85 here today.
Yeah.
Uggs are not sensible in this kind of weather.
No.
They are for me. By properly fitting sturdy shoes with non-skid soles. Although, that's cute with skirts. If you're a woman who can't find wide enough shoes, try men's shoes.
Oh. Wow.
Well, that's bound to ruin my love life. Drunken woman stomping around the house in men's shoes.
Clomp, clomp, clomp.
Why, Mr. Ed, you're home.
It's 1964 Tom McCann's.
Oh, nice. Let's go to Kinney.
Kinney.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Number four, remove home hazards.
Like large dogs?
Right.
Staircases.
Dogs, Gatorade bottles.
Staircases.
Again, cancel the gravity bill.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I'm going to have one of those grandma houses, right? Like everything. And you're
gonna,
or like childproof.
And you're going to have that little plastic cart that goes up the, like, Livia Soprano.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You need a house of Nerf.
Next time you guys come over, ding dong, ding dong. Hang on! Hang on!
Oh, no. I don't like
Jim
that
right.
sound.
You need a house made of Nerf.
Oh, to my Nerf house. Jim would fix it so the chair goes faster. And then that would defeat that purpose because I go flying.
You need a bouncy house.
Right. Like they have for kids.
Yes.
There you go.
With no kids. Ugh.
Well, still, you'd be safe.
Number five, light up your living space. Mm. That'd be nice. It'll be like an interrogation room all the time.
Yeah.
Why is it so bright in here?
Yeah, under 30 lighting.
Right?
Ooh.
Just light up your living space. I'd rather fall. Place nightlights in your bedroom, bathroom, and hallways. Oh, jeez. Number six, use assistive devices. For instance, a raised toilet seat or one with armrest. My mom has that. I love it. I think I might get one of those. It's like a big high chair that you poo on. Love it.
Oh.
Handrails, things like that. Right. Okay. So, thank you, Julie. That's good to know. Good to know. All good information.
I like the men's shoes.
Me clomping around the house.
In your Tom McCann's.
And my dad's old. What kind of hat was that?
A Homburg.
And a Homburg. I think I have. There must be some of my dad's old shoes and Homburg hats around. Hello. I'm dressed like a congressman from 1972. 1962, pardon me.
Yeah.
All right. 17 minutes after.
They all
the
pretty
hour.
Much look like Ricky Ricardo.
Yes.
You know, they put the hat on as they left. You just wore a hat outside.
Yes.
That's what you do.
Oh, God. Sad, sad little creature. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-oh, careful, careful. You're going to do that. Careful, everybody. Look out for Gatorade bottles. 22 minutes after the hour. Uh-oh. Mama fell again.
Help, I've fallen.
Nobody help Mama. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Oh, everybody just sending me senior citizen stories now?
Oh.
The show is going to consist of...
Yep.
Isn't that old person radio show? Is that what this is turning into?
Yeah, it's called Touch of Grey.
Touch of Grey.
I see ads for it in talkers all the time. Like, I've never heard it on any radio station.
That is not a deadhead thing.
No.
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 It's an actual... I don't know whose side I'm on in this story. Senior citizen assaults cyclist with a bag of dog poop.
Wow.
Right. Because I'm both a hiker and a dog walker.
Right.
Know,
but
and
some,
a cyclist.
Some bicyclists can be a-holes.
A-holes, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. They.
Lance Armstrong.
Excuse me?
Lance Armstrong.
It's true. I actually did ride by Lance Armstrong near where I live.
Really?
Many years ago. He was riding with Cheryl Crow.
Yeah. I bet you he blows through stop signs.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, right?
Because they're supposed to follow the rules of the road and stop at all stop signs.
Right. A cyclist was going so fast down where I live that it almost ran into Fred, Max and Fred.
Ugh.
Yeah, you're right.
That would have been bad for the bike.
I think because I'm an old lady and a dog lover, I'm gonna be on the senior citizen side.
Okay.
A retired civil servant in Cambridge, UK, was so fed up with cyclists hurtling toward her that she decided to take matters in her own hands with the help of her dog. Susan Corral, who is 75, was walking with her dog, Rosie, mm-hmm. on a dual-use path used by pedestrians and cyclists. Yeah, that never works.
Mm-hmm.
When a college professor cycled past, he came toward me and was saying, "Get out of my way." He was close enough for me to reach out, so I attacked him with the poo bag. At least it shows I was picking up my dog poo. That is true. Point in her favor.
Well, since the George Bush incident, I'm sure all Scottish policemen are equipped with bags of dog poo now.
Yeah.
Just in case. They run
you broke my ankle! Bastard.
I just hit him with the bag on his arm. I did not deliberately pour the poo over him, but the bag might have split when it hit him. I didn't mean for it to split, and I didn't actually see if anything went over him. After the altercation, he dismounted and said he was going to call the police. I was sarcastic, and I said, are you going to call your mommy as well?
Oh, snap.
Point
okay,
two
that's
for the
funny.
Old lady.
That is funny. Old lady saying that. That's awesome.
After sentencing, she was unapologetic. She said, it's ridiculous this case ended up in court. A lot of people will be applauding me for what I did because cyclists can be such a pain in the neck.
Yeah, some of them can be.
All right. Some bitches be crazy.
Uh-huh.
Including sexy liberal bitch by Audra in Minneapolis. What, is this a little go get your Seattle tickets? I think it is.
Sexy, you say liberal. Sexy, liberal.
Get your tickets and wear comfortable clothing for the occasional breakout of crowd surfing.
Audra in Minneapolis. She'd be crazy.
I don't think there'll be any crowd surfing at your age.
No.
My brittle hips. I'm going to guess that would be on my doctor's first rule of fall prevention. No crowd surfing in Seattle. Okay. All right. Wow. Speaking of be crazy, I'm wondering how Ted Cruz is going to top himself. Should there be another, filibuster shutdown thing, whatever, coming up? Let's see how his commitment is. It's hard to top what he already did in the Dr. Seuss and the Flavin. Artist nails testicles to the ground in Red Square.
Yeah, I saw that.
What?
Yeah. To protest police brutality.
Right. Right. Performance artist Piotr Pawlinski. Stages protest at apathy, political indifference, and it's hard to be indifferent with your balls stapled to Red Square, I would think. Apathy, political indifference, and fatalism of Russian society.
Well, I
saw the pictures of it, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I guess it's not as bad as setting yourself on fire, like a Buddhist monk, but...
There's that.
That looks like it stings. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. There, saw the picture.
Yeah.
I'm protesting police brutality! Ow!
I dare you, Ted Cruz. Show some commitment to your
I do not
crazy.
Like green eggs and balls.
Yes, a performance artist broke new ground on Sunday when he nailed his scrotum to the cobblestones in a painful act of protest.
I bet his eggs did turn green after a while.
Yes.
Piotr Pawlinski.
Piotr.
Right. Said the protest was his response to Russia's descent into a police state and was timed to coincide with the police.
Kind of always. It has been.
The state has descended.
Well, under Gorbachev, it wasn't. But
into police state, along with his testicles.
Yes.
Okay. It was time to coincide with police day.
Police day?
Right. Well, not a police ball, obviously.
Ah, ha, ha. Policeman's ball.
There's a cop there. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you... No! For God's sakes, what did you do? What did you do? Really?
I've never had enough vodka to do something that stupid.
I got to hear that 911 call. Yeah, I guess there's a lot of vodka-related incidents. All right. Another guy stapled his balls to Red Square. Yes. Yes. Send
again?
The ambulance now. Okay. And some pliers.
Oh.
Ugh. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Just because I don't have purple eyeshadow and spiky hair doesn't mean I'm not a strong, independent woman, okay?
34 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Okie dokie then. Well, this law is just ridiculous. This just in.
What?
From Travis Bone. Porn stars would have to wear goggles under the new draft of a California bill?
Oh, come on.
Who's got
really?
If you're wearing goggles, come on now.
Well, there are certain shots that might be dangerous to the eye.
Might
That's
get in your
sexy.
Eye.
Oh, boy.
If you have a big enough exposure.
Pizza man. Oh, yeah. Are you wearing goggles? Get out. The newest version of the California bill. See, we're on the side of the worker. We're on the side of worker protections, but this is a little much. This is a little nanny
state.
The newest version of it would require adult film actors to wear protective goggles.
If you get into the pornographic arts, you have to expect a little bit of
contact with certain things.
So there's a bit of a...
Maybe that's things on salad bars, maybe something like that.
It's like if you become a cop, you kind of expect to be shot
everywhere. Splash guard.
A sneeze guard.
Yeah. Right, sneeze guard, splash guard, something.
All right.
The bill is
I'm
not gonna say it. All right. The bill is
something about salad,
Yeah, better left unsaid.
But it's not left unsaid because Jim's here. The bill is stalled in the Senate. Oh, it probably needs a little
lube.
Right. They need to grease that through. But the most recent proposed draft.
Just tell him to relax.
Nervous. You can make it worse.
I'm here with your pizza.
The most recent proposed draft would, in addition to mandating condom use, require that personal protective equipment
be a wetsuit and a face mask.
Right, to prevent contact of an employee's eye, skin, mucous membranes, or genitals with the blood or of another.
Why are you shoving it up your nose? Mucous membranes?
Some people just have never gotten... through that point of their childhood. What are you doing? Don't put that in your nose.
Oh, God.
In November, as you know, L.A. County passed the Safer Sex in the Adult Film Industry Act that required porn actors in L.A. to wear condoms during all vaginal and the other kind of... The kind of... Ken Cucci,
no.
Sex scenes. This is a great thing about stories like this. This is an actual news story where they're not trying to be funny.
Right.
Despite stiff opposition from adult performers. And producers, the bill passed by a majority vote.
So now, goggles? What, the goggle bill passed?
I guess
the
support has softened for this next thing. After the Right. No, the condoms, they're required to wear condoms.
Right, knew that.
But this is new, the goggles.
Goggle, really?
Pizza man. Oh, it's a. Did I call a welder? What are you doing? Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. Wow. Let's see. Joe in Syracuse writes, this is the state of our politics today. Jim has frequently commented on the fact that the Yahoo comments section is inhabited entirely by
Yahoos.
Right. Ironically. Or not. It's like you've been warned.
Mm-hmm.
These are Yahoo comments.
Right.
Joe writes, Stephen the Moops, I was able to watch Good Morning America Monday when ABC News correspondent Amy Robach, am I saying that right, announced that she had breast cancer. I'm sure like millions of others watching, our hearts went out to the reporter and her family. I normally check out the TV news website, and normally stories they put out about the media might get 5 to 10 responses on a really good day. I was shocked to see, as of 4 p.m. Eastern time, the story regarding Ms. Robach got over 360 responses. I was thinking people were moved by the story and showing online support. Yeah. Wrong.
Really?
Sure enough, right-wing nut jobs are on there criticizing ABC News, Ms. Robach. Why did she wait till she was 50 to have a mammogram? And, of course, Obamacare.
Obamacare?
Yes. Statements like, yes, and ironically, the panels and committees of brilliant experts that will run our health care under Obamacare want to raise the age when women get mammograms to 50, because by sacrificing a few women like Ms. Robach, they can hand out much more free birth control to people like Sandra Fluke.
What? None of that makes any damn bit of sense.
No.
It's just total
gibberish.
Someone
else wrote, she probably had her insurance canceled because of Obamacare. Even if she's one of the lucky ones, we'll now have waiting lists like Europe. Hope she can hold on a year or two. Yeah, this is what's happened at some point. We've stopped becoming human beings where there's a moment of going, oh, I'm sorry about that. Who even knows what her politics are?
Right.
Like, oh, I'm sorry about that person that got cancer for herself and her family. What?
And they
now she's a battering ram for
Sandra
Obamacare?
Sandra Fluke in there somehow?
Yes, what, right. Huh? Sluts like Sandra Fluke, I guess. It is depressing how truly mean some people are, no matter what the situation, Joe in Syracuse. Yeah. It's...
And stupid.
Yes, exactly.
Which way to go?
Which is no way to go through life.
Right.
All right.
No way to go through life, son.
Exactly. Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Dean Warmer.
On double secret probation.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about the continuing just crisis, Chiron, something, yep. Obama, bad, debacle, Obamacare, crisis, Syria, debacle, bad, whatever. Here's from our friends at Media Matters. We just had Eric Bowler yesterday, mm-hmm. a tweet. A new study found the ocean is warming 15 times faster than in the past 10,000 years from the right media, now. From the media silence. Yeah, because they're too busy, you know, trying to get winners and losers politically on Obamacare. Who cares if anybody's...
And even more silence about the radiation in the Pacific Ocean.
Well, and getting back to warmer oceans, it creates bigger typhoons.
Things like typhoons, yes. You mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you'd be a crazy person if you mentioned that.
Those pictures coming out of there are just horrifying.
I know.
The stories that people are telling.
Mm. I know, but that's what I'm saying. You know, there's barely... That's like a, you know, little kicker story on the news because they got a... Oh, by the way, did you see this anywhere except for the Washington Post? The healthcare law success story, slowing down medical costs, by David Cutler, professor of economics at Harvard.
They know a little something, something.
So I guess
they're smart.
One of the lesser Ivy League schools.
So, no, yeah. That's not a lesser Ivy. are they just averse to covering any good news at all? But interesting, he writes the anger over the botched rollout of the Affordable Care Act's Federal Health Insurance Exchange and over conflicting explanations about whether people can keep their coverage has been bipartisan and well-deserved. Administration needs to get the personnel and management changes to get enrollment back on track, which they have said and they are doing. But the focus on insurance coverage obscures other parts of the ACA that are working well, even better than expected. It's increasingly clear the cost curve is bending and the ACA is a significant part of the reason. I ask you, anybody, Bueller, anybody hear this story anywhere?
No
anywhere?
More.
No?
Nope.
No. Even as coverage efforts are sputtering, success on the cost front is becoming more noticeable. Since 2010, the average rate of health care cost increases has been less than half the average in the prior 40 years. Seriously.
And so, somehow that's a bad thing.
No, this is good.
The Tea Party.
The first wave of the cost slowdown emerged just after the recession was attributed to the economic hangover. 3 years later, the economy is growing and costs show no signs of rising. Something deeper is at work. The Affordable Care Act is key to the underlying change. Starting in 2010, the ACA lowered the annual increases that Medicare pays to hospitals, home health agencies, and private insurance plans. Together, these account for 5% of the post-2010 cost slowdown. Medicare payment changes always provoke fears, in this case, that private plans would flee the program, the quality of care in hospitals would suffer. Neither of these fears has materialized, however. Enrollment in private plans is up since the ACA changes. I think Jackie was talking about that with us at one point.
Mm-hmm.
The law also emphasized that payments should be based on the value, not the volume, of medical care. In a value-based system, compensation is made for the patient as a whole, not for specific services provided. As a result, eliminating services that are not needed is financially rewarded. The reaction to this change has been rapid. Hospital readmissions, which used to bring in substantial dollars, are now penalized. Again, Jackie's talked a lot about this, about what, you know, this is the thing that is driving these costs. For instance, readmission rate in Medicare is down 10%. Since 2011, similarly, hospital-acquired infections. When you go to the hospital and get an infection, used to bring in additional dollars. Now they do not. One program to cut infections encompassing only 333 hospitals saved more than $9 billion. Both of these changes improve patient health even as they reduce spending. The accountable care movement is what they're calling it, which aims to make providers more accountable for the cost and quality of care, has blossomed far beyond expectations. I mean... To me, the story here is not a story anywhere. This is a significant thing. And then he talks about, we've talked about this whole difference too, red states, blue states. Governors and legislators in red states are almost universally opposed to the ACA, but these states are still seeing cost savings from the law and they're participating in other ways. And he looks at six states. They're using ACA-appropriated funds to help shift medical care to higher-quality, lower-cost system. 19 other states are planning similar changes. Many of those states are solidly red. President Obama was lambasted, by the way, for his forecasts of cost saving. That was a Chiron, several crisis Chirons ago.
Right.
For his forecast of cost saving. Remember in 2007, he asserted his health care reform plan would save $2,500 per family relative to the trends at the time. Events have shown him to be right. Again, where have you seen the Chiron? Sorry, President Obama, you were exactly right about that. They just did a...
better results, lower cost. Thanks, Obama.
The Office of Actuaries, whatever. It literally is almost exactly what he said, the savings. Looking ahead, there's every reason to believe the cost will continue to grow slowly, maybe even more slowly. A study in, Massachusetts. Showed that the savings there increase over time as organizations move into more areas that can slow cost growth. An analysis of exchange premiums estimated the insurance costs in the exchanges are 16% below what was forecast 2 years ago. If cost growth continues or at its low pace, the cumulative savings to the federal government would be more than $750 billion over the next decade.
You say that like it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, but this is where we're going to go into the showdown fight and blah, oh God, we got to slash the Social Security nets because blah, blah, blah. We're spending too much.
Oh, God, people keep repeating that mantra, and it doesn't make any sense anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and meanwhile, here's the actual proof that the Affordable Care Act is what is going to save us all of this money. Rather than, I mean, if the website is fixed and enrollment can catch up to expectations, the ACA could yet become a major policy success. He writes. So
the right wingers want to turn us into Greece, so they can blame Obama for it.
Right. Right. Like,
shut down the government and
where did all this austerity come
billion
from?
Dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's how many times can you say deficits are falling at record rates? In fact, many economists say too fast.
We have a spending problem.
Right.
Get the torches.
That was a scary monster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait a minute. This is complete BS.
47 minutes after the hour.
Put down the beats!
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it this hour, brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Now you can even present from your iPad. Check it out. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Stephanie. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Comedian Dean Amidala coming up at the top of the hour. Some interesting, not-so-fun facts about Chris Christie's record. Speaking of media storylines, hey, here's another media storyline. Benghazi, 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 Benghazi.
No,
what was the tweet? I was told if I liked my CBS 60 Minutes Benghazi story, I could keep it. But you can't. Once again, where else do you see this? What's going on in the world when we're getting our main news from Gawker? What is... Because this is, again, something you don't... Because they wanted to jump on, as, you know, Eric Bowler was telling us yesterday, this Benghazi storyline and get, you know, a big buzz in the right-wing press, like, oh, maybe there is, you know, more than meets the eye, Benghazi, blah, 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 and that turned out to be, like everything else before.
More lies.
Right. Right. Exactly. Anyway, this one, interesting information. Lara Logan's husband was a propagandist for the U.S. military.
Yeah.
Interesting.
How about that?
What a coincidence.
Gawker writes, everyone wants to know, why did CBS correspondent Lara Logan trust Dylan Davies, the now discredited security contractor, and the story he told 60 Minutes about the 2012 attacks in Benghazi, Libya, is truly mystifying, unless that is, you know, about her last significant lapse in professional judgment involving a security contractor. Many people know in 2008, Logan married Joseph Burkett, a defense contractor she met while stationed in Baghdad to cover the Iraq War for CBS. Logan and Burkett were both married to other people when they became involved. The story of their war zone love affair, complete with records of a brawl between Burkett and CNN's Michael Ware, another rival for Logan's affections.
So that's how he broke his nose.
Lit up the tabloids at the time.
No, I think it was footy.
What most people don't know, however, is the nature of Burkett's work in Iraq. He was employee of the Lincoln Group, a now-shuttered strategic communications and PR firm hired by the Department of Defense in 2005 to plant positive stories written by American soldiers in Baghdad newspapers during the Iraq War. Remember that? Who was the other reporter? Remember that we used to all the time, like, hi, it's blah, blah, blah reporting. And this wasn't really reporting. It was this stuff. It was
planning. In Washington, I'm Karen Ryan reporting.
Oh, yes!
Karen Ryan.
The fake reporters that they were paying, the PR firms were paying to talk about how great the Iraq war was going, right? He was, he did information operations, said one former colleague. It was really spooky stuff. We worked with one of those special spooky IO outfits that didn't even have a unit patch. It's the kind of work for which a close relationship with an American network correspondent might come in handy.
Oh, dear.
And it paid handsomely under an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract. The Pentagon promised Lincoln Group up to $100 million. Wow. To assist the military's joint psychological operations with controlling local media coverage of the American occupation. You know, put a sunny face on it.
Yep.
And why the occupation's good. It's real good what you did.
Good what you did, Auntie Anthony.
The Lincoln Group later became the target of Congressional and Defense Department investigations over its handling of the U.S. cash and its propaganda tactics. CBS News never saw fit to disclose that one of its Star War correspondents became romantically involved with a man who was paid by the U.S. government to manipulate civilian public opinion about the disastrous war in Iraq. I mean, anyway, so, you know, but and you tell me about this drumbeat about, you know, liberal media and, oh, they're all Obama apologists. Really? I mean, it's stuff like that. Eric Boulder was saying yesterday, it was not much of it. It was just like, oh, sorry, we got a little detail wrong about. And he compared it to Dan Rather, that when, you know, Dan Rather got fired and the whole, I mean,
the story was true.
Right, and the story was true.
Yeah. It's just that they gave
they couldn't substantiate. Documents. Right, one document. Anyway, unbelievable. All right, so meanwhile, the gaffe machine, John Kerry, the stumble bum who somehow stumbled into a stunning diplomatic success in Syria.
But we didn't blow anything up!
As Dave Gregory alluded to, he's clearly a crazy, wild-eyed conspiracy theorist who is also boning everything up with Iran by also preventing a war from happening immediately.
We didn't blow anything up!
You know what? You know why they're mad in the Chiron department? Because they probably got some really great war graphics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
War with Iran graphics.
Damn
now
it.
What? Do you know that how kind of money those kind of graphics cost? War graphics. They're big business.
Because they're animated.
Right? Okay. John Kerry.
There was unity. But Iran couldn't take it. At that particular moment, they weren't able to accept that particular agreement.
I know. We can change it to war with Tron. Just a little...
Tron?
Yeah. Just manipulate a little bit, and we can do digital stuff blowing up. Yeah.
Do you think there are people in Chiron departments that are just hoping for something? Just
something.
A grenade?
Come on!
Something.
Give me something
just to
work
even
with.
A little war so that we could... God's sakes, that was a lot of work.
Gotta blow something up. Come on!
Change the last letter.
Oh, diplomacy, blah, 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 whatever. Boring!
Just change the last letter.
Diplomacy doesn't even need a graphic. What kind of Chiron do you... Okay. Benjamin Netanyahu, Israeli.
There are many, many Arab leaders in the region who are saying this is a very bad deal for the region and for the world. And you know, when you have the Arabs and Israelis speaking in one voice, doesn't happen very often, I think it's worth paying attention to us.
There's only one voice we need to listen to here, and that is Senator Butch Me Up.
I've never been more worried about the Obama administration's approach to the Mideast than I am now. We seem to want deals worse than anybody else in the region. Thank God for France and thank God for pushback.
Senator Huckleberry Butch Me Up.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Oh, thank God for France.
Yeah,
and they were cheese
like
eating
France.
Surrender monkeys about Iraq, but now they're thank God for Viva. Right. Okay. whatever. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Dean Abadala next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Golly, I love that headline. Scott Walker, David Koch prank call show that God had a plan for me. Yes, he did. The plan is...
You are an idiot!
All right. right. Mama coming to Madison for Scott Walker early retirement party. Sexy Liberal, March 29th. Tickets almost gone. For God's sakes, it's crazy. Phoenix bitches be crazy. February show. Yep. February 15th. Get a Valentine's present for the sexy liberal in your life. Do it.
And or then maybe find your own Valentine by getting some sexy liberal strange.
Right. And then the final 2013 show is in Seattle, Washington. Again, I believe VIP tickets are almost gone there as well. Hurry. Okay. At the Paramount calling.
Yes.
All right. So we've been talking about Chris Christie's big win. Huge win in New Jersey. And the media storyline about him, Jim, it's always been that he's, you know, bold and courageous and...
larger than life.
Whatever.
Larger than life character. He really is. Thank you.
Time tells me he's the elephant in the room.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I never got this from the beginning. Can I just say? He just always came up to me as like rude. He would say something incredibly just rude to someone, and the media would be like, oh, look how plain spoken he is. Remember that one? There, I just said it, and boom, I did not vaporize into the carpeting. Boom!
I think New Jersey people appreciate...
I think you're loud. I think you're loud and you're rude. That's what I think.
Maybe New Jersey people appreciate that?
Well,
I don't know.
For them. Well, no, because they would vote for Hillary Clinton over him for president. And what was the other poll you saw? They would vote for any fill-in-the-blank Republican for president other than Chris Christie.
Well, 32% said that they would vote for Christie in a presidential primary, while 31%... prefer any other candidate.
Anybody.
That's always a good sign
when there's just a fill in the blank. And there are a lot of blanks in the Republican Party. The whole party is shooting blanks, in my opinion. But any of those blanks, apparently, would be preferable to the aforementioned. Okay. All right. So our friend Dean Obadala wrote a piece about this very subject, and he joins us now. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, sir. Some not-so-fun facts about Chris Christie's record.
Chris, I'm here to wake people up to Chris Christie. This is what God told me what to do. I mean, God had a plan for me, had a plan for Scott Walker. This is my plan. To alarm people about, tell people about Chris Christie, the Rob Ford of the South, except he's not smoking crack. Where do you want to start this, Stephanie? I wrote an article for the Daily Beast about Chris Christie and his real economic record. Objectively, I didn't skew anything in a partisan way, frankly. I listed each thing from taxes to employment to job growth to state credit rating reductions and let people decide what they will, if he could make a good president or not.
And you said, you write, unless the economic numbers improve greatly, Christie will be wishing people were still just talking about his weight.
That's right. He might have to take up crack at that point just to get people off the economic numbers. Sometimes it could be that bad. His numbers, like he just won a New Jersey re-election. I'm a Jersey guy. I live in Manhattan now, but I'm still a Jersey guy. You can hear my accent. And I will be honest. I heard, you guys chatting that maybe what he does connects in Jersey. It absolutely does. Mm-hmm. Not that we're rude, but in New Jersey,
you say what Chris just said on a visceral level.
Yeah.
You're like, that's a Jersey guy. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And visceral moves people. Like in New Jersey and New York, a similar amount of people supported gay marriage, but New Yorkers, it's much more intellectual, equal protection of the law. New Jersey be like, look, I don't care what you do. Don't bother me. I don't bother you. I just don't want to see you guys kiss in front of me, unless you're lesbians. Then you can make out all day. that's sort of the Jersey attitude. It's live and let live. It's a visceral progressivism, which on some level I think is more pure sometimes than intellectual progressivism, but not to get into it. The people in Jersey voted for Obama in 2012 more than in 2008. I mean, he won by 17 points in 2012, Obama. So it's a very blue state. Now, Cory Booker won easily by 10 points and barely campaigned, which caused him some problems, so this year he's going to have to work even harder. But so Chris Christie winning by 60% is something to be said in a state that's truly a blue state.
And I love that, someone was saying, I mean, if it weren't for Sandy, he wouldn't have won. And, he embraced the president. But isn't that a governor's job to get, federal aid to help a state that's been, devastated by something like that, right?
I was in North Jersey at a political event that weekend last year, right after Chris Christie embraced President Obama and walked with him. And there were Democrats going, wow, this guy's pretty good. And up until then, they hated him. But that's how desperate New Jersey people are, and I think Americans are, for some bipartisanship. That's how pathetic that it's become. So I think him doing the simplest thing is such a breath of fresh air in a nation that's so hyper-partisan, where Democrats and Republicans just almost will not work together on any level in Congress. We see that. And in state houses, it's usually controlled now by one or the other party, so they're not working in a bipartisan fashion whatsoever. And that's part of it. I think part of it, they're like, you know what, this guy's reasonable, and we're just going like, that's normal. Normal's not normal anymore.
Well, I mean, it is interesting, though. You know, when you look at the cold, hard facts, you talk about the unemployment rate, 8.5, considerably higher than the national average of 7.3. 44th in job growth during Christie's governorship. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the credit agencies cut the state's credit
rating.
Three
major credit agencies cut him. You know, economic growth is 47th in terms of GDP in the nation. The last time they did a ranking was 2011 because there's a lag in that. Even taxes have gone up 18.6% for the average family in the time Christie's been governor. And so, you know, it's a typical thing. He's going to run. The Tea Party people, the other Republicans, are going to just show these numbers and go, can America afford Chris Christie as president? The ad writes itself.
Right.
And no one's talking about his economic numbers. It's like he's done a great job economically. There was a poll right before the election. Only 42% of New Jersey people thought he was doing a good job handling the economy. The problem is his opponent, Barbara Bono, had no money. She had less than a third of what he had and couldn't make a good case.
Yeah.
And people like Chris Christie personally, and you can't forget that. Like, it's so simple, but that's it. You know, in Jersey, it's a small state relatively. People like him. National platform,
right.
Uh-uh.
But, I mean, look at a lot of this stuff, too. Mortgage delinquencies increased 2.8%. Home prices down 6.7%. The poverty rate has reached a 52-year high with 24.
The Republicans won't care about that in the primary. But
yeah.
The Republicans will care. But in the Republican primary, and the numbers I put in there, I didn't even get into social issues, which will resonate well in the Republican Party. He's not a moderate. He's not a right wing guy. He's a mainstream conservative. Against gay marriage until the courts took it out of his hand. Against abortion. Not any, you know, here's the typical thing against abortion, except in the case of rape and incest. The mainstream Republican platform we would see before. So for him to be considered a moderate shows how ridiculous the Republican Party is. And like Sarah Palin bashing him yesterday almost makes me want to defend Chris Christie. Because
yeah.
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
If you're going to bash him, then I'm going to defend the guy because you're horrific.
Well, I mean, what you say is, you know, obviously the wisdom has been, oh, he's too, you know, moderate, or he's not right wing enough to win the primary. But you're saying he actually is right wing. So
he's conservative on the big social issues. Financially, it's going to come down to the guy's going to, we don't know what the biggest issue will be in 2016 when they're running for president. The economy is probably going to be up there, but we don't know. The economy could be churning along, going great by then, and then people won't be, and all the numbers in New Jersey will rise naturally. So we're at 2013, but if these stay like this, the way the Republicans are going to beat them in the primary is not on the social issues if they're smart, because why make yourself seem crazy? Make it about the economy. Make it about these numbers, and you can beat them. And mainstream Americans will be like, well, I like Christie, but, you know, can we really have a guy like this as president? He hasn't shown us he can do anything to get the economy going. And no one talks about that. They talk about, is he fat or too fat or fat enough, not fat enough, you know, or is he conservative enough?
Is there somebody, what percentage think he's not fat enough?
There are a few people in southern Jersey, I think. And, you know, stop counting calories and start counting job creation. I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, this is a real thing, and I hate to be like almost a real political pundit when I say this crap, but as a guy from Jersey, I can tell you, we like him. He's likable. His mom's Sicilian. My mom's Sicilian. I can't help but like that because I know the insanity he went through growing up. But it's not going to play on a national level, this stuff.
Well, I mean, that was the other thing I said. You know, initially I was saying, boy, he sure doesn't seem like he has the temperament to be president. But, you know, that's the one way you think you know he's running for president is I feel like someone must really be working with him because he's really trying to come off less, you know, bombastic like that, right?
He is very similar to many of my uncles who are Sicilian. You know, like, it's anything, the little slightest thing will get you mad and you'll lash out. And sometimes on Twitter, what's funny is I'm half Palestinian, half Sicilian. My Palestinian side tempers the Sicilian side. That's how crazy my background is. You know, I'm not saying the Palestinian side's like, wow, that's calming. The Sicilian side is such a boiling blood, and he's only half Sicilian. It really, what he does in his lashing out is, I've seen him growing up with Sicilians, it's a normal thing. Like, you're with us or against us, and you're slightly against us, I'm going to make your life miserable. I'm going to call you names. I'm going to potentially bully you if that's what it takes.
That's what he comes off to me. He comes off as a big bully. I don't know if you saw it. I think it was just last week. He was yelling at a school teacher. He said, "I'm tired of you people."
That's a typical. You know, that's him. And in Jersey, there's some people going like, "I like this guy." You know what? At least he speaks from the heart. We know where he stands. And in a world when politicians are, I think, overwhelmingly one, ideologues, or second, he'll say anything you want to hear. Anything you want to hear, even if it's not true. And he is not either. He's not an ideologue in this kind of right-wing craziness where I'm going to burn down the government, I don't care anymore. And he's not a guy who just says what you want to hear. And that's true, because there are even people who have been the brunt of his barbs who go, like, "You know what, I appreciate his honesty." But that's where we are. We're in a world where politicians are, I mean, who would want their kid to be an elected official now? It's changed so much. It's unbearable that you're not going to have the best and the brightest going to government on any stretch of imagination. You're going to have the worst.
Well, I think that's what I got from the whole, you know, somebody was pointing out that he said, you know, that he's on Time Magazine's cover must mean he's doing something right. And someone said, well, Hitler and Bin Laden were on the cover of Time Magazine, too. I mean, but he just seemed like the interviews he's given, it's like me, me, me. And it's like the fact that he spent, what was it, $12 million of taxpayer money to make sure that Cory Booker voters weren't voting when they were voting for him so he could puff up his numbers. It just seems like.
Well, that's. From a real politic point of view, it was a shrewd move. I mean, you know, if you were the governor and you knew you needed to get a big win in Jersey, because Cory Booker's on top of the ticket, there's no way Chris Christie gets 60%. He still beats Barbara Boehner. She couldn't raise money. Right. It just was not going to happen. And nobody knew her before this at all. She was just a state senator. She wasn't a famous state senator. Yeah. She wasn't Wendy Davis from Texas. There was no issue that made her transcend the state senate. We don't even know who the elected officials are at that level. But, you know, this guy is about his ego. I mean, he does make Kim Kardashian camera shy at this point. I mean, there's Miley Cyrus going like, "Buddy, you better get off the TV. This is a bit much." You know, like, this is the craziness. Although she is
like, okay, if he starts licking a wrecking ball, he's getting a letter from my lawyer.
You just gave me an image of Chris Christie twerking.
Twerking naked on a wrecking ball. You know, like, it's horrible. But, you know, the one thing these guys have in common, I think, not Kardashian seems reasonable now, doesn't she, compared to Miley Cyrus?
Right.
But Christie, these guys, I think, are addicted to fame like some are addicted to a drug. It's not much different any longer.
Yeah.
And they need it, and they probably get depressed when they're not on TV and when they're not talking about themselves or what they're doing. And I think you're right, Stephanie. I think that's, like, it's going to rub people the wrong way about Christie's. The bluntness, I think they'll get over, but when you become egomaniacal and it's all about you, that's where people are like, come on, this is like, it's like Sarah Palin type of thing. It really gets to that point. He's far better than Sarah Palin. I mean, I'm not.
That's a high bar.
Yeah, he's above E. coli.
Even he can limbo under that.
Yeah.
All right, Dino Vidala, great stuff in the Daily Beast. We'll talk to you again soon, honey.
Thanks
a lot. There you go. 19 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com at the bottom of the hour. Noel in Los Angeles. Hi, Noel.
Hey, Steph, good morning.
Hey, you're my first in a while.
Ha, ha. Steph, listen, I think our Democrats, we have been on playing defense for 5 years. It's time to get on the offense, and it's time to turn this fight around and stop letting everybody focus on Obama as a liar and start focusing on insurance companies as gougers who don't give a rat's ass about helping American people. And you know what? John Fugelsang hit it right on the head last week when he made the analogy of all these crazies who call Obama a promise breaker and a liar. No, check out this. If I promise to come to your daughter's wedding and I buy a ticket and I get to the airport with my ticket in hand ready to make my promise and the airlines cancel my flight, does that make me a promise breaker? Does that make me a liar? shove this down the Republicans' throat and make them choke on it.
You're absolutely right,
Noel. You're right, Noel.
That's a great analogy.
Oh, dear. Very harshly stated.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Shove it down your throat.
By the way, Dean was talking about Miley Cyrus, and I now, see, now it's come full circle, and now I love her. You know why?
Why? Because she smoked a joint on stage?
No.
Oh.
Mini Gaga. You know my affection for mini horses, mini bands.
And mini Gagas.
Right?
She had, that's right, she had mini, she twerked in mini Britney's face.
Yes.
Yes. I saw that.
Now I love her. Yeah, you know I don't, I do not, I've never partaken of the marijuana cigarettes, so it was not that. Although someone said that was talk about sticking a giant foam finger in your strict fundamentalist Christian exploited child star upbringing. Yes, she did light up a joint on stage.
Yes.
Apparently. At the MTV Europe Music Awards. She kicked off the night with a performance of We Can't Stop, complete with dwarves, a skin-tight silver cat suit, and an entrance made from a spaceship.
Fantastic.
I'm stealing that for sexy liberal. I got
Roland is saying, where am I going to get all that stuff?
What? Roland, I have a new rider this year. For sexy liberal. Yes. I will need Mini Gaga, a spaceship to come on.
A real spaceship,
right.
Mind you.
It's a female dwarf called Little Brittany. I believe she's also Little Gaga. She's the same one.
Yeah, she's based in Vegas.
Right.
You're just lucky she performs for you.
She spanked Miley Cyrus and let her squeeze her breastises.
Ooh. Hey, now.
Yeah. See, a little something for everybody. Jim's happy now. Yeah, milk, Jim. Saucy picture.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
She's dressed in a leather cat suit.
Looking for something up there. Dr. Leakey! I don't know what's happening. She's, you know what I mean?
I saw the picture.
Like okay.
I don't need it shoved in my face.
Okay. It's like somewhat gynecological, somewhat proctological. Check it out.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Okay, let's go to girl on girl and many things. What else do I need? Then I'm happy.
I don't need any of that.
Robert in Pasadena. You're on the Stephanie Miller
Stephanie,
Show. Hello,
Robert.
Good
morning. Well, look, at everybody's saying that the number of people that have signed up for health care on the government website is going to be very low. But what the president's people need to do is they need to get the totals from all of the states other than just the plain healthcare.gov website, like California, Oregon, Washington, and that number will be way bigger than just what's on the federal site.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that they do that and they show the total and not just what's on the Fed site.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this piece I was reading earlier, it's just, I think the thing is there are too many good things that are already happening. It is more than a website, and it's just the latest, you know, sort of wall of obstruction. And this, too, when they're going to get the website up and working. And it, as we were saying, I have not seen that story anywhere except the Washington Post about costs are coming down.
Yeah.
Which, is, as Jackie's always said to us, that's like one of the major problems is the cost of health care. And the ACA is already affecting that positively as well. Let's go to Ben in New York. Hello, Ben.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Just calling in to share an alternative perspective.
Okay.
Obamacare, I guess that's obviously the Affordable Care Act. It's a very hot topic nowadays.
Mm.
And I'm a private sector guy. I run my own business. And I've never felt good about the idea of a, you know, socialized medicine type program. Mm.
That's
it's
not
just going to
drive
up costs.
If only we had that.
Yeah, it'd be nice
if
we did.
Before you guys continue and cut
how is this
off,
socialized medicine?
I used to distribute group health insurance plans. That's what I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
For groups of over 50 and group over 100. So I understand the concept of a big pool of people. Ultimately, that's what the Affordable Care Act is trying to accomplish. But you see the resistance from people because really at the end of the day, the Affordable Care Act is really just a way to fleece the private sector of their opportunity to make income.
It is the private sector.
In their life.
There is nothing public about it. It's all private sector.
They're using the actual insurance companies.
Oh,
just
my God.
Rules.
It's the private sector fleecing the private
God.
Sector, you see.
Wow.
Yeah. Right back with Charlie Pierce.
Stephanie Miller.
I just knew by your weathered hands and super smelly breath that you'd be good for a funny saying or two.
All right. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. My favorite day. Why? There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hey, it snowed here today.
Really?
It did. And guess what? Guess what's happening in my neighborhood?
What?
John Travolta is making a movie.
Oh, my God.
John Travolta is in my little neighborhood.
Oh, my God.
Got it.
Oh, every day is Christmas.
He knows who to rubber hose.
Charlie Pierce. Isn't that cute?
Not only that, but we're not talking about pumpkin humping anymore, are we? Because you guys were doing that yesterday.
No.
Oh, the
guy that a pool rat for the sixth time. Yeah.
Yeah,
also,
well, that, you know,
right.
that was, you know, I would have to refer to that as a jack-off lantern. See, now
yeah!
there's no reason.
Jack-off lantern.
See, I used to have a career. I really did. Mm-hmm. I hooked up with two people now.
I know.
So I'm never going to be on Meet the Press. It's never going to happen.
Now you can see why he was greeted like a king at Boston Sexy Liberal. Because just that kind of comedic magic. You write about your good friend Senator Elizabeth Warren, and I agree with you on this. You were talking about Noam Schreiber's the piece that Pete seeks to pit Hillary Clinton against Senator Warren. Row, catfight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Throw the chicks in the pit and see who comes out.
Exactly. But you say you suspect he might be itching to luxuriate again in Travelgate, Cattle Futures Gate. What about the Billing Records Gate and all the rest of them? And as you say, the piece makes a very compelling case for Senator Warren staying right where she is. She's plainly developing a powerful sphere of influence among her colleagues without harshing too many delicate mellows there. I think that the other evidence I was thinking, Charlie, she did sign the letter urging Hillary Clinton to run, right?
And she says repeatedly over and over and over again she's not running.
Right.
And, you know, the fig leaf of respectability for what was essentially a celebrity, let's have some feuding celebrities piece was that there was this rising, you know, movement in the Democratic Party of economic populism. And outside of Elizabeth Warren, who is there?
Right.
That's the problem. I mean, if there's this rising movement, there should be more than one candidate.
Well, they're trying to create a rift that is not there yet. That, Hillary Clinton's going to get primaried from the left and,
It's starting to get very intriguing because the two narratives are we're going to create a rift on the Democratic side, but we're going to anoint Chris Christie.
Right.
We're going to ignore the fact that there really is a rift on the other side. That NBC poll that came out that showed Christie leads nowhere in the Republican Party except in the Northeast, which is very important to the Republican Party, as you know. I thought very, very intriguing.
Oh my God! The Rush and the gang are apoplectic about it, and the Tea Party.
Not just them, but you know these getting backhanded compliments from every other. Nobody's going to clear the field for him, is what I'm saying. He's still got to go to Iowa. He's still where Sarah Palin was throwing word salad at yesterday.
That's right.
By the way, do you have Christmas ornaments ready for Charlie? Did you read? Because you mentioned her book. Have you seen where you can click on all the Christmas ornaments?
New York Magazine has this on their website.
Charlie, little early gifts for you. Here you go. This is
an angry atheist with a lawyer is one of the most powerful persons in America.
Charlie, there's so many ornaments, so many little audio gifts.
That's an ornament, or is that an actual selection from the audio?
It's a selection from the book, yes.
You click on an ornament on her Christmas tree, and she spouts off crap like that.
Here's another.
Because hearing a word you don't want to hear is a big frickin' deal.
Right, Charlie?
Big frickin' deal.
Let's just pick a word at random. Dumbass.
Yes, you. This is one of my favorite, of course, and that's saying a lot. Pieces of yours, you dimwits. We have heard on high. Princess Dumbass of the Northwoods has a book to shill and a war to wage. And she spoke. We talked about the Iowa Faith and Freedom Coalition.
Yeah.
She said our free stuff today is being paid for by taking money from our children and borrowing from China. When that money comes due, and this isn't racist, but it'll be like slavery. When that note is due, we're going to be beholden to the foreign master.
Rule number 1A, subparagraph B of political punditry.
Right.
When somebody says, this isn't really racist.
Right.
The next sentence will be racist.
Right. Right. And you were just going to go with merely ignorant anyway, you say.
That's right.
Yeah. And you say the holiday grift season is upon us again. That was a good one, Charlie.
Thank you.
She said this is her Christmas is under attack. She said Palin quickly acknowledged she has a new book coming out with exactly that topic, ironically.
Mm-hmm. Remarkably.
Yeah.
It's political conservative politics is a marvelous environment for coincidence.
See, now, we clicked on a lot of ornaments, but I did not hear this one. She said, I say in a very jolly Christmassy way, enough is enough. Enough is enough of this politically correct police out there that is acting to erode our freedom to celebrate and exercise our faith.
Oh, God, and somewhere in heaven, every nun who taught me English grammar growing up is like loading their shotguns and saddling up.
This is my favorite thing anyone has ever said about Sarah Palin. Charlie Pierce writes, here do we find the place where subject and verbs do not merely fail to agree but actively lay clubs upon each other until English grammar lies bleeding and helpless in the middle of a cornfield. It's the only way to get through rereading something Sarah Palin said. Charlie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you had some more, like, fulsome compliments to throw my way, so I thought I'd shut up.
You're waiting? No. although I did love your piece on Joe Scarborough's new book, which was quite, I had forgotten.
I'm a little peeved at the squints, you know, sudden, you know, evolution into this reasonable guy who's going to save Republicanism from itself.
Yeah, yeah. But what, by the way, what do you call the show again? I forget.
Morning Squint.
Morning Squint. Okay.
A squint in the meat bag or something?
Squint in something and the meat puppet.
Yeah.
You say Joe Scarborough, the mysteriously well-compensated host of a microwaved morning talk show asylum for disgraced hacks and television historians, has brought out a new book. Like product about which we will, likely be hearing far too much on our liberal MSNBC TV network. Anyway, it seems that Scarborough has taken it upon himself to rescue his beloved Republican Party and return it to the values of Ronald Reagan, who gutted civil rights laws, started his campaign talking about states' rights, not far from the impoverished graves of murdered civil rights workers, made up stories about black bucks buying steaks and welfare queens with their Cadillacs, sold missiles to the people who bankrolled the killing of hundreds of our Marines, then used the cash to bankroll his own terrorists in this hemisphere. Ah, the good old days.
That's right. This is what Ronald Reagan would do. Very good. Sell another missile.
Yeah. Well,
you know, sell another missile to the Ayatollah.
But, Charlie, it is so interesting. I had forgotten a lot of this, and you talk about how he made his bones in the radical anti-choice movement. He was the guy's lawyer who murdered Dr. Gunn.
I'm not entirely opposed to, I'm not going to land on him too hard for that, because people need lawyers. I mean, everybody's entitled to a lawyer. But it also turns out that, like, the murderer's father contributed to Joe's campaign.
Right. Well, I mean, but the whole point of your piece is that this is the guy that's calling this version of the Republican Party so extremist.
Absolutely. Right. And let's not forget he was right in the front of the mob, you know, during the impeachment thing.
Right, as you say, chasing Bill Clinton's penis all over the Beltway.
What I really emphasize is his inexcusable involvement in the Terry Schiavo case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he's now telling the Republicans not to take radical opinions on social issues when he made the lives of a lot of people I actually met very miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, to the larger point, you said the country stated quite clearly through the 98 midterms it didn't want the president impeached over BJ's. Joe Scarborough helped the House impeach the president over BJ's. The country stated quite clearly over and over again it wanted the government to butt out of the Terry Schiavo case, and he continued to jump in the middle of a family tragedy with both feet, as you say. And you're right, this is the guy saying, oh, this, you know, Republican Party is so extremist.
Yeah,
always been extremists, and he's been at the front of the pack.
And the only reason he's saying it is that they started to lose elections. If the Terry Schiavo thing had worked out the way they thought it was going to work out and the way they anticipated it was going to work out, we wouldn't be hearing all this stuff right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the man is the biggest fake in public life.
I love your final line. This is Machiavelli for morons. And quite simply, there's no bigger phony on the political stage right now than Joe Scarborough, who's attempting to teach table manners to the monster he helped create. just really, really great points, Charlie.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, I know I do like the fact that you picked up on the attempt to establish the catfight between Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton, because that's going to live for a while, and we really should keep an eye on it, because it's going to be a way to divert attention from the fact that the entire Republican Party is lining up to gut Chris Christie.
Yeah, By the way, that line will stand.
Oh, by the way,
will stay in my head. Let's throw the chicks in the pit and see who wins.
By the way, did you notice in the New York Times today that remember when Chris Christie refused to take the money to build the new commuter tunnel, the commuter train tunnel, because it was against his principles or something? Instead, he plowed a bunch of state money into a casino.
Right.
This piece in the New York Times today about the casino being bankrupt.
Oh,
nice job, boss.
Great.
Good job, boss.
Nice job, rough, tough, joicy guy.
Exactly. Charlie, great stuff. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right, love you. Bye. I love him.
Bankrupted the casino. How do you bankrupt a casino?
Must have taken advice from, what do you call it,
Trump.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Kimberly in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kimberly.
Hi, Stephanie. I have a great story to tell you about my experience with the ACA. Okay, my accountant came in, and he's a total Republican, and he was so depressed today. He said they're canceling my insurance policy. We live in the state of Florida, and they are raising my rate. And I took him right into this new website. I know these three guys up in Silicon Valley came up with. It's the healthsherpa.com. And
I was reading about that this morning. Yeah, they basically fixed healthcare.gov.
Wow.
Right, they took all the information from the government website, and they put it into a website that works.
Yeah.
So I
what is it? Wait, say it again.
Healthsherpa.com.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Okay, so now we have a website that actually works. So I took him into the website, the Health Sherpa. All you do is you put in your zip code,
and then
it pulls up all the policies in your area. You click on what level of coverage that you want. I said, Bob, let's just go straight for platinum. Platinum,
Okay,
we found an HMO policy for zero deductible, and it's 90% coverage, and he got it for $600 a month less than what he's paying now.
Oh, my God.
And he does not qualify for any kind of subsidy. And he goes, that's without the subsidy? That's $600 less than what I'm paying now? I'm going, yeah, Bob, I printed out all the information for him about the policy, and he's taking it right now, and he's going to his Blue Cross Blue Shield agent, and I said, make sure you tell them you want the policy that's in the exchange. And so he's going right now to go get himself a policy. And now we need to hear my story.
Make sure you stop in the office to change your registration to Democrat and also send a thank you note to President Obama.
Okay.
Now go ahead. What's your story?
Okay, my story is that I have a small business. I'm a private investigator, and our business has been bad for like a couple of years now. So my income is, I do qualify for a subsidy. So now I am able to get the same platinum policy, which zero deductible, 90% coverage, for $240 a month for both me and my husband, and we're in our 50s.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, this guy, my accountant, he's like a big shot in his church, and it's the biggest church in our area, and they're all Republican. Now, he's an accountant. He handles everybody's accounts all in the business in this area. This is the way that we're going to get the word out.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Kimberly. And this is what they're afraid of. The more real stories with real people, regardless of their, partisan stripes, they are going to keep finding this out, and it's going to become, it's going to become overwhelming.
Right.
And now, why did you become a private detective? Were you always naturally snoopy?
Actually, I married a private detective, and we started a business together, and I was just doing,
bet you guys aren't snooping on each other.
Just like heart to heart.
Yes.
Heart to heart.
No, but if you need to find anybody or any background checks or anything like that, you got a private investigator in Homosassa, Florida that listens to your show.
Awesome.
Every day.
Boy, I bet you guys never cheat on each other. You're like, really? Are you kidding me? I'm a private
officer. We've been married for 27 years, and we would never cheat because we both know that we know how to catch each other.
Exactly. That's marital insurance. All right. Thank you, Kimberly. What a delightful story.
They just need to find a gruff guy named Matt.
Matt!
Mr. G, what did you call him? Now you've got me in my back of my heart to heart.
I only watched it like a few times.
Mr. G, want me to bring the car around?
And he sounded like Louis Armstrong or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite was
when they met, it was murder. That's from the opening credits.
My favorite thing is she had that whispery voice, and she used to always
Stephanie
just, like,
Powers.
Right, she used to stand around while he was getting the beat out of him by somebody with a candlestick or Jonathan. Oh no, what should I do? I've got a fireplace iron or something. Do something.
he sounded like Kermit the Frog. Remember him, Jennifer?
Robert Wagner?
Robert Wagner, that's
right,
it.
Robert.
Yes.
Jennifer?
I'm just saying. It was a weird trio of voices.
They shot
Louis
an
Armstrong.
Episode of that at UCLA when I was there.
No. Oh.
All right, then. Okay. Magical.
Very nice.
Okay. Wow, that's the weirdest tangent we've ever gotten on.
I think so.
And that's saying something. 48 minutes after the hour.
Beaten with a reverse mortgage.
Yeah, now he's doing those reverse mortgages.
See, she's a Stephanie that could not get into radio. Too whispery. Stephanie Miller Show. Sorry, what? Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Now we've stumbled down the heart-to-heart rabbit hole. What? Oh, because the lady called, they were husband and wife private detectives, and now we have stumbled down the heart-to-heart, including, somebody tweeted that their dog was Freeway.
Their dog was named Freeway. That's right.
Did we find the theme song? Yes, we did.
This is my boss.
My boss.
Jonathan Hahn, a self-made millionaire.
Millionaire.
He's quite a guy. This is Mrs. H.
Mrs. H.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
One lady who knows how to take care of herself. By the way, my name is Max. I take care of both of them, which ain't easy. Because when they met, it was murder.
Murder. When they met, I was murder. Wonder how many cigars went into that voice.
Hello, Jennifer. I'm home.
I'm home.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, Lori said we go out on my boat.
I was out taking Freeway for a walk.
I just loved that show. Loved it.
When they met, it was manslaughter. Murder. Murder. That was it. Yeah.
Jonathan. Oh, here's another weird 6 degrees of Stephanie Miller separation.
What?
My old agent at ICM 1,000 years ago,
uh-huh.
back when I had such things.
Yes.
She was also Stephanie Powers' agent. Uh-huh. And so she was really funny, and we used to call her on my old radio show and put her on the air. And the running joke was always she would mistake me for Stephanie Powers. She only took the call because she thought it was Stephanie Powers. And then when she found out that was me, she would have another call. She has another call. Lee has another call coming in. She has another. She just got called into a meeting.
And when she called, it was murder.
Exactly. You got anything for me? No.
Computer says no.
Got no work for you. Stay in radio.
No.
All right. John in Boca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi, Steph. I just wanted to let you know that Health Sherpa, in as much as they're good intentioned and they're providing a community service, and they were featured on CBS.
Right.
As an insurance agent, I actually called them because I wanted to know if it was too good to be true. They're not actually approved by the states or the insurance companies.
Right. People should realize you can't use it to sign up for coverage. They're just posting, pub what information is public, right?
No. What they're doing is they're developing the rates based on the information that they're projecting out. In other words, these rates are not approved by the states or the insurance companies. In fact, all the insurance companies right now are integrity testing all of the rates they've already released to everybody they've approved. So just to let you know that the rates are coming. You still have to go through healthcare.gov.
Right, to get the actual insurance. Yeah, I got it, John. Travis brought this in just so I'd have to pronounce the name of one of the
developers.
Programmers, right, yeah. For healthsherpa.com that somebody mentioned.
Thehealthsherpa.com.
Right.
You have to get the in there.
Pardon me.
Okay.
George Kaligeropoulos.
Kaligeropoulos.
Right.
Kaligeropoulos.
Right. Ning Liang and Michael Wasser.
Ding dang.
Oh.
They're young cold builders that built the site in 3 days.
That's German.
How hard is it to create a website, CNN writes, to help people get health insurance under the Affordable Care Act? For 3 20-year-old programmers from San Francisco, it took about 3 days worth of work and a few $100. Spurred by the problems that surrounded the rollout. See, at least they're helpers.
Sure.
Instead of trying to just naysay, they're trying to help. They tried to create this alternative, Health Sherpa, quickly and cheaply. The result is a bare-bones site that lets users enter their zip code, plus details about their family and income to find suggested plans in their area. The Health Sherpa is a free guide that makes it easier to find and sign up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. We only use carefully vetted, publicly available data, the site says. The Health Sherpa is not affiliated with any lobby, trade group, or government agency and has no political agenda. How about that? How about a little nonpartisanship for a change?
Yeah.
You can't actually use Health Sherpa to sign up for coverage. The site states that it's for research purposes only. Users must verify the premiums and subsidies they find there with state healthcare exchanges, insurance companies, or on healthcare.gov itself. It isn't a fair apples-to-apples comparison. One of them said, unlike healthcare.gov, our site doesn't connect to the IRS, DHS, and various state exchanges and authorities. Furthermore, we're using the government's data, so our site is only possible because of the hard work that the healthcare.gov team has done. So good for them. Good for them. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeehaw! This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by No-No Hair Removal Device. Must you taunt me?
Well,
as a former werewolf of Lockport, up the transit from the Buffalo. Okay, then. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. By the way, speaking of the interwebs, Dave, among other people, writes, why does the Google hate you? This is. Have you Googled? Julie in Seattle found this too. I know you never Google yourself. But if you Google yourself, Google has taken 30 years off your public persona. How nice of them.
What?
Dave said, who's the cute redhead? Is she a lesbian too? If not, give her my number.
Oh, I think that's the personal trainer, Stephanie Miller.
No! It's some cute redhead. I was like, what is going on? The Google profile view that pops up on the side of the page has your photo and bio, but mistakenly also photos of a gorgeous ginger ingenue whose page at the Boston Conservatory informs us that she's a soprano belter.
Oh,
and sadly, young enough to be your daughter if you'd made the tragic mistake involving a man and semen 23 years ago. I don't know what can be done about that sort of thing, but perhaps you want to put your people on the interwebs' confusion as to who you are and what you do. Fart jokes or musical theater? Is Stephanie Miller a 50-something political comedy diva or a 23-year-old lust object aspiring soprano lead?
Wow.
Says,
Who's my peep? Just Travis. Travis, get on that. Get rid of that ginger ingenue.
There's also a female bodybuilder with a website named Stephanie Miller.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. Saw that.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Also not me.
Not you.
Can't we airbrush out people that are not the real Stephanie Miller, not the actual...
You want to eliminate people who are not Stephanie Miller?
Now they're going to think she's the sexy liberal, so now they're going to expect singing at Seattle Sexy Liberal, for God's sakes. Now I'm lying on the cold hard ground. No, I need the sexy liberal thing from Audra in Minneapolis, who is a soprano. Thank you very much.
Sexy, you say liberal. Sexy, liberal. Sexy, liberal.
Sparks and Fugle sing.
Bam.
We're up on stage telling jokes about a teabag away.
Teabagger? I just met her.
Yeah, they got it going on, cause they're singing a liberal song.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, so they got it going on, cause they like you and me.
Bam,
me. Yeah, they got it going on, cause they like you and me. Yeah, me. Singing sexy liberal.
They're gearing up for another sensational round of sexy liberal fun. Sexy liberal bitches be crazy. Right, get your tickets and wear comfortable clothing for the occasional breakout of crowd surfing. Thank you, Audra in Minneapolis. Audra's going to the Madison Show, March 29th.
That's right.
Those tickets almost gone. Phoenix, February 15th. Chris Lloyd's going to that one.
I'll be there.
Tickets going very fast for that. And Seattle, the final 2013 extravaganza at the Paramount Theater, the Chris Mahana Kwanzaa Stefika show. Also going to be off the hook for many reasons. There are many special surprises.
Yes.
Yes. All right, so hurry up. Tickets going very quickly there as well. Yeah, speaking of this story about Oprah reminded me, because I am obviously interweb challenged and technologically impaired. I did tweet. I did one tweet because Lawrence O'Donnell was flirting with me, so I was able to actually send my own tweet once.
Or is that the one you had Travis send?
No, I did it myself.
You did
finally.
One
you
yourself.
Gave me the thing and told me how to do it, and now I've forgotten. But still.
Just open it up and hit compose. That's all you have to do.
Right. You put it on my phone, right?
I did.
Yeah. Okay. Oprah's clumsy first tweet. This is going to be me. She has near 22 million Twitter followers now.
That's a lot.
I'm sure I'm close.
Sure.
Follow me, please.
At SM Show.
Right. Her first tweet was something of a catastrophe, according to a new book. When the Twitter co-founder Evan Williams went on her show to demonstrate how to use it, to ensure she couldn't mess up her first tweet, the staff had set up a laptop with colored stickers. You and Travis are going to need to get on this. It reads, it was paint by the numbers for the clumsy computer user. Oprah was instructed to press the button on the keyboard with a yellow sticker, but instead press the caps down lock. Then rather than hit send on Twitter, she accidentally pressed the key with the yellow tape on it. That reset the screen and erased her first tweet.
It's not that hard, really.
I would do that. I would do. Then I would have to call, tech support, and I would have to say, I don't know which key. Where is the any key? I don't understand where the any key is.
But it's any key.
I don't know where that is. Is it near Enter? There's no tape on it. Travis didn't put tape on it.
It does not say any on the key. Press any key. You have a keyboard of some kind. Yes?
I hit the caps lock.
Caps lock is not what you want.
Press any key
except for caps lock.
Caps lock doesn't do anything.
If you hit caps lock, you start World War III.
Really? Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Oprah almost started World War III. Also, here's some not-so-fun facts, particularly for us. Mm-hmm. The book also details a booze-soaked meeting where Al Gore offered Evan Williams, the guy, founder of Twitter.
Sure.
Whiskey, beer, wine, champagne, shots to persuade them to sell the company to use in conjunction with Current TV. Oh, wouldn't that have been handy? Hmm. Maybe if we'd bought Twitter, we'd still be on Current TV. After being told they weren't selling, Gore wasn't giving up. He emerged from the kitchen with a bottle of Patron, tequila, and a handful of shot glasses. Well, this is how he got $500 million to sell us to...
Although you can't get the people from Qatar drunk. They don't drink.
That's right.
See? And he's still got $500 million. The guy's genius.
Is that how he got you to do the morning show?
Right. Great. Tequila. That's how I lost my latest TV show. Great. What? It may be time to warn about the dangers of tequila. You might accidentally sell your network, which includes Stephanie Miller, to God knows who.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. Is a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy, and it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Tequila! All right, thank you. And it may also pledge you to sell your network. Cutter. First, if only he told it to Stephanie Cutter, then we would have been fine.
There we go.
You wanted to take over Stephanie Cutter, didn't you? At some point, yes.
Who wouldn't? Oh, God. Really? CNN got her.
Yeah. By the way, catmen, both cat owners.
Yes.
Taylor Swift cats get mad when left alone. When the singer leaves her, the cat's called Meredith. Taylor Swift says she's more mad every time I leave for 2 days. I come home and she kind of does a meow version of screaming at me.
Not my cats do that.
Not like screaming goats, but, you know. Really?
Maybe it's not a cat, it's a screaming goat.
Cat sound like when it screams?
Well, it doesn't. They don't scream. They just meow, meow, meow.
Oh,
like they're happy to see me.
Just like jerk, jerk, jerk. That's what
yeah,
cat
I guess.
Yeah. Okay. I only heard a cat in heat once, and that. Now that's a weird sound.
Okay. Yeah. When we first adopted Boots, she just walked into our apartment and kind of made herself at home, and we're like, oh, how cute. And then a week later, she went into heat.
Oh,
it was not fun.
Which was cat talk for come and get it, daddy.
Well, she would lie on.
This is one hot.
Yeah. She would lie on the floor on her back, spread her legs.
Poor cat.
And would wait for Jazz to come, and Jazz is fixed, and so he wasn't having any of it. She was
just a sloppy French whore.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Do it.
And then she'd go off in a corner crying, wondering why nobody thought she was attractive.
Whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready, stick it in. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Bubble butt.
Turn around, stick it out, show the world you got a bubble butt.
No, you don't have a bubble butt. Yeah.
George and Ira Gershwin.
Yeah, pop that
rolling over in their graves.
Pop that bubble. 22 minutes after the hour. All right. So we were talking about Taylor Swift's Cat Gets Mad.
Yeah.
And you did a little symphony of what your cat sounds like when he's also mad that you're late.
Meow.
Okay, that's good. Lisa Marie Presley makes horrible animal noises before going on stage.
Really?
How can you tell the difference between that and your singing? The duet.
It's a bit from 1998.
Oh. Okay. That was, remember, she was trying to do what Natalie Cole did when she did a duet with her deceased dad, Nat King Cole. And, she said, I do really horrible animal noises to warm up my voice.
Hmm. Are they horrible animals or horrible voices?
No. All right. Oh, speaking of horrible animal stories, you're going to hate this story. Just when you thought you couldn't think Charlie Sheen was a bigger douche. Ugh. He took to Twitter recently to send a note to his ex-wife, Brooke Mueller, saying, happy birthday, Brooke. Why don't you blow out this candle? See, his candle is a grenade. That's cute. He wrote another tweet to her that said, you are a chubby weirdo who will lose at every turn trying to get between me and my boys.
Huh?
TMZ is reporting the actor's other ex, Denise Richards, has told the L.A. County of Children and Family Services she no longer wants to care for the twins. She's been helping out as Mueller has struggled with drug addiction and completed inpatient rehab programs. TMZ said Richards wrote a letter to the agency saying the kids are out of control and violent. They repeatedly kick her dogs in the head and will flip from sweetly petting the dog to strangling the animals and lifting them off the ground by their neck. She also says Bob and Max, who started school in September, have slapped teachers in the face. And Richards said the kids have thrown their own feces into the bathroom of one of her daughters.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Ugh. But gay people can't be parents, I say. Okay. Boy. All right.
Wow.
And yeah, I know. The final celebrity stack story today?
Yeah.
Lady Gaga to sing in space in 2015.
Really?
She's going to blast off on a Virgin Galactic ship.
Well.
That is the only thing that could have made the plotline of Gravity.
Bring some Dramamine.
More ridiculous. It's space junk. Oh, no, it's Lady Gaga floating by singing with George Clooney.
Did you see over the weekend Lady Gaga wore a flying dress?
I did not.
Yes, it was a dress that had a platform that she stood on, and above the dress were like five propellers that lifted her into the air.
Putting that on my rider of sexy liberal demands that I'm making Roland get me. I think for the final extravaganza, 2013 show, don't you?
Sure.
December 14th in Seattle. I can get that. Oh, I saw some ridiculous outfit that Miss somebody had on. Miss America was amazing.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what I need. That's what I need for sexy liberal. It was some kind of, yeah, I don't even know.
It was a Transformers outfit that looked
right.
like it was made out of.
Like a flag or something.
It looked like it was made out of, like, old Tide.
Socks?
No, Tide bottles, you know?
Roland could do that. He's handy. He's got plenty of time.
Sure. I'm sure Travis could do it. He's a Transformers nerd. He has
yeah.
a Transformers tattoo.
Yeah, nerd. Get on it. Brony. Let's go. All right. Oh, look, some we've been all talking about HealthSherpa.com
mm-hmm.
this morning.
TheHealthSherpa.com.
Yeah, actually, he said HealthSherpa.com works just as well
all
as
right,
TheHealthSherpa.com.
Fine.
But anyway, it's three 20-year-olds from San Francisco put together a site that you know, you cannot buy insurance there, but you can very easily find out what your options are,
yeah.
which is they're helpers. They're being helpers. Rich already went there. He said, I put in a zip code for Jackson, Mississippi, and mm-hmm. said I was 25 years old and making $25,000 a year. Mm-hmm. That seems reasonable. Fun facts. Here are the results.
Okay.
Bronze PPO plan from Humana. Net cost zero a month.
Zero?
Premium, $144.05. Subsidy, $144.05.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that would cost you carry the four device. Zero.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Silver PPO plan from Humana. Net cost would be $13.12 a month. Because the premium is like about $190, subsidy about $177 something. A gold PPO plan from Humana, net cost $38.72 per month. Because the premium is $216, subsidy $177 something. Rich says, so I ask you, why would a young, healthy person in Jackson, Mississippi opt to pay a penalty when they can get a bronze plan for zero?
Zero.
Thank you, Rich. You are the smartest boy in class. That would be zero. And the ability to not bankrupt your family.
Right.
Should you get sick or in an accident or, you know.
Whatever.
Get your arm cut off in a thresher.
Right, right, if you don't. The farmer from Wisconsin.
I called in.
Dirt, lost the derm in a thresher.
It said he's paid enough taxes in his life and the government's not going to let him bleed out. He was like a walking ad for single payer.
Yeah, he was.
Okay. All right. We like.
Okay, that's yes.
Yeah, but he said that it don't work for him, Obamacare.
No, nope. Don't work. Obamacare don't
okay.
work.
Okay. The latest Rocky Mountain High, Colorado Obama scare story doesn't add up.
Yeah.
How many times a reporter is going to fall for this? Like, they find the latest Obamacare horror story to make the rounds of conservative media report from CBS News about a retired nurse, Kathy Wagner, please and thank you, who wrote a letter to President Obama because she got a cancellation letter from her insurance company, was offered a plan that cost 35% more and had a higher deductible. As with other Obamacare sticker shock stories, Boyd omits many key details from her reporting. And the headline, Colorado Woman Who Championed Obamacare Loses Insurance Plan, is pretty damned irresistible. In her report, Boyd reveals that Kathy Wagner says she isn't political, has never written a lawmaker, much less the president, but Obamacare she felt compelled. And when we come back, I'll give you once again the actual facts about this story that you've heard all over the place. All right, 29, sticker shock. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a liar. She's a dingbat. She is an attention strumpet.
Yep, that's it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. But you know what I got? I got theme songs. I got theme songs and jingles. What about that? Oh, Rocky Mountain Mike, because I just did my 7,000-year-old Lisa Marie Presley bit. We forgot we have an Elvis on the Steph Show. That's right. Totally forgot.
As the show flies on a cold and gray Burbank morning, a Spicex scandal story is born on the Steph Show.
On the Steph Show.
And so mama cries, 'cause if there's one thing that she don't need, it's another squeezy fantasy on the Steph Show. People, don't you understand where to put his other hand? It'll grow hair if he don't stop someday. He takes a look at Jill Kelly, and he'll go blind, you see. So do we just gross out and look the other way? On the steps, you're...
Thank you, Elvis.
On the steps, you're...
Thank you, Elvis. Oh, my God, look what I missed, Chris. Yesterday was China's Unmarried Loser shopping holiday. I totally missed it. China's unmarrieds will spend over $5 billion to feel less lonely. Today, China's... This was yesterday.
Oh.
China's singles celebrated Double 11, an anti-holiday started in the 1990s as a university student embraced a bachelorhood.
Huh.
Which craftily transformed into the biggest online shopping event in 2009.
All right.
Every day is single and married loser shopping day for me, and now Amazon's going to deliver on Sunday.
I know!
Oh, my God!
What?
That is bad news for me!
I love
this
story.
U.S. Postal Service is going to deliver Amazon packages on Sunday in L.A. and New York at no extra charge starting this week.
That's right.
And the service will expand to other cities next year.
Yeah.
You've been in my browser. You know what I'm
talking
about.
I've been in your browser. I've seen the things you've bought on Amazon.
Right?
I didn't know you could get those kinds of things on Amazon.
What? Do tell.
I don't know what you're talking about. Why do I let you in my browsers?
Because okay. You don't close them.
All right. I have, if I knew how, I would.
You click, you click on the little box, the red box.
Right. Who knew?
Uh-huh.
Okay. This is the latest Obama scare story. That is, what's the word I'm looking for? Not true so much. It was in the Colorado. Kathy Wagner, this is the one going around the conservatives. I'm surprised we haven't had a troll caller on this one.
I know, right?
Colorado woman who championed Obamacare loses insurance plan. That was the Kathy Wagner is her name, who wrote a letter to Obama, right. Blah, blah, blah. The actual fun facts, would you like them, Jim? I bet you would. Based on the very limited information. It just, you know what? And it really doesn't even take a lot of work for these reporters. This one probably just went to healthsherpa.com. Based on the very limited information given, Kathy Wagner paying somewhere between $750 and $800 a month before Obamacare, what Boyd doesn't reveal, as has been the case with many of these stories, is that many Americans qualify for subsidies to cover a portion of that premium. In their case, if they make $60,000 a year, they qualify for a subsidy that would absorb 35% of that premium increase and then some. At $50,000 a year, they'd get half their premium paid for. Boyd also says that her premium is for the same coverage, which is obviously not the case, or Wagner's old plan would not have been canceled. According to Connect for Health Colorado, there are 30 different plans for couples over 50, like she and her husband, for under $1,000 a month, including 8 that are about the same or cheaper than what Wagner was paying before, with deductibles ranging from $1,750 to $6,750 per person. As reporters should be learning, insurance companies rarely include the least expensive option in their cancellation letters. Oh, isn't that cute? The people are all shocked. Yeah. Insurance companies, what? Are trying to get you to buy the more expensive? Huh?
That's so unlike them.
Anyway, there's another example of the relentlessly bad reporting on Obamacare. Thank you. All right. Okay, we were talking about, we talked to Dean Obadala earlier about Chris Christie and his act, speaking of the actual not-so-fun facts for Jersey. Yeah. It's a horrible economic record. Anyway, he also, facing the wrath of Tea Partiers,
I
think he's conservative enough to win in 2016. Scott Hofstra, active Tea Party member, please and thank you. He said, we're so frustrated with all this Christie talk, we can't see straight. He's no more conservative than Harry Reid. Oh! Ow! Chuck Henderson.
And he's with?
Tea Party member from Manhattan, Kansas. Thanks
all right.
for asking. He said he won his re-election. Bully for him. But for him to make the jump up the next rung of the ladder, yeah, that'll be tough. Although you do see elephants at the circus do that sometimes.
Sure.
Well, he's not going to find any support from the people I mix with. I guess those rungs on the ladder are not going to hold. It's on the Tea Party ladder are not going to hold is what he's saying. Okay. All right, Drunk Stack, you've been seeing all the Ted Cruz drunken law school antics?
Yeah.
I was reading about this.
Boston Globe poked around in Texas Senator, the famous Cubanadian, as Jim would say.
Mm-hmm.
His time at
He's not a Canadian shaped like a cube. He's Cuban-Canadian.
Right.
Yes.
Cuban-Canadian. His time at Harvard Law School. Among them, the Republican senator once got so drunk he couldn't perform at a school play the next day. From the Globe, after the successful first performance, Cruz spent the cast party imbibing so much Everclear.
Oof.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
That's a grain alcohol. Wow. He even Kenny Dukakis would be like, what? Who? Why, don't drink that crap. What? Said he couldn't make it through the next night's performance. His fellow actors had to coax him into going on stage, but by Act 3, his condition worsened. A video of the performance shows him sitting on a bench on stage, his head buried in his hands for nearly 5 minutes straight. After meekly delivering a line, he walked off stage in the middle of the scene, forcing cast members to improvise around the departure of a lead character.
Wow.
He didn't return for the remainder of the play. Well, that's that play, The Actor's Nightmare, where you're...
Right.
You can't remember the words, you just got to make up all new words right on the spot. So even they thought he was a douche. Splat. Oh, another drunk stack. A verdict has been reached in ABC reporter Sam Donaldson's DUI trial. Did
yes.
you hear this?
Yes.
This had to be a bad lawyer. A jury on Friday acquitted Sam Donaldson of DUI charges. Following his acquittal, he strode over to the officer who arrested him and said, "You did your duty as you saw fit. I bear no animus toward you whatsoever."
You did your duty as you saw fit.
I bear
no animus to you.
See, that's something you
the
can't
fact
pronounce.
That I can say animus.
You can't pronounce that when you're drunk.
I
Nobody
know.
Can.
I don't know.
My burners, I don't dislike you. You're
not best, man.
Don't ask me how he got acquitted. So she saw him weaving from one side to the other while driving on the shoulder. That's a little
dip
off.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Claims she smelled alcohol upon Donaldson rolling down his window to speak to her. Testified she also saw a recorked wine bottle near the passenger seat.
Uh-huh.
At least he recorked it.
Yeah, it's still an open container.
Mm-hmm.
It's not open.
That's why I always put a cover on my roadie.
Cork in it.
On your roadie. Is that what you call it?
No. I do not use a coffee cup with a cover. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
Though, not when I'm driving.
I see. Okay.
But then the other person's in trouble. The other person in the car.
Yeah.
Well, not if the other person asked me to pour the water. Okay.
Really?
He said he had a few glasses of wine with dinner that evening. He did poorly on a series of blood alcohol tests, miscounting a number series and failing to stand on one leg as instructed. The attorney, however, counted that the police academy training states that such balance-related sobriety tests should not be administered to people older than 65.
Yeah.
So that's how he got off. Well, you got a hand at
that. All right, older than 65.
He was clearly soused. I'm too old to stand on one leg. That's what it is.
According to a White Horse House, White House source.
I'm just going to say I'm 65. I'm close enough. Can't stand on one leg. I'm not drunk. I'm too old. And I tend to fall a lot. If you listen to the show.
It's not an open container if there's a cork in it.
Right, exactly. It's not.
Gotcha.
Ha-ha.
Or if it's in a travel mug, according to Steph.
Yeah.
I closed
the lid.
It was a
it's
hypothetical.
Not an open
it was not a real thing. It was a hypothetical.
Yeah.
Okay. Scott Walker says the David Koch prank call showed that God had a plan for me. Yes,
really?
A plan to show everyone what an idiot you are.
Exactly.
What an egotistical dillweed you are.
Sure.
I love that story. I love my favorite part is that the prank caller could not get him off the phone.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. I'm just like Reagan. God, you know what? I got to go. And by the way, I'm not even David Koch, you moron. Oh, my God. What are you, lonely? One of the most famous episodes of the 2011 labor battles in Wisconsin when Governor Walker took what he thought was a phone call from conservative billionaire David Koch. He later found out it was actually a prank call from a journalist in his new book, Unintimidated. Oh, that's a manly title.
Really?
He says the incident showed him that God was speaking to him.
What?
Scott.
Scott, this
you
is God.
You are a moron.
If you believe that, you're an idiot.
You are easily duped.
Yes, but I'm unintimidated.
Ian Murphy was a reporter, remember?
Uh-huh.
He posed as Koch, asking Walker if he would be planting some troublemakers in the peaceful crowds that were protesting his anti-union legislation in Madison.
Remember that?
Walker replied his office had thought about that, a comment the Madison police chief later called very unsettling.
Yeah.
Troubling, you think? He had, after the press conference about the aforementioned prank call, he heard God's message for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what's that, God? What's that, God?
You're an idiot!
Okay. I got through it, but that press conference was one of the toughest days. I felt like an idiot.
Well
yeah, because primarily...
You are an idiot!
Right.
I just want to hear God say, me damn it.
Me damn it! What are you doing?
Sure, I was upset at my staff that had let the call get through to my office.
Oh, can you throw imagine? The staff under the
can
bus.
Can you imagine it with Travis? With
Travis? Yeah.
That wasn't Sarah Palin, Cam. You.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Making me look so silly. Stupid staff. Okay.
Stupid is and stupid does.
Stupid is. Ultimately, I was responsible for what I said and how it came across. Only later did I realize that God had a plan for me with that.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking that he did, too, to show the entire country what a moron you are.
Yeah.
You're not qualified to be president.
Take a long walk off a short pier.
God's cranky today. God sounds a lot like Wilford Brimley without his oatmeal.
Yeah.
It's the right thing to do.
And without his catheters, too.
Anyway, he came back after the press conference. He came back to his office. In my office is a devotional book on leadership. The title for that day was "The Power of Humility, the Burden of Pride."
Oh, yeah. God, really?
Cue the choir of angels. Ugh. I looked up and I said, "I hear you, Lord."
That wasn't me, you idiot. You're hearing things because you're drunk.
Every time Scott Walker busts a union, an angel gets its wings. Isn't that? That is such an inspirational story. Splat.
I just think I'm going to burst.
All right. Wait. Speaking of God, I had another God stack. Tony Perkins, Jim.
No, Mother Blood, no!
No, guy from the religious guy.
Right.
Yeah, Family Research Council. And,
whatever.
And Flavin. He wants private companies to be able to deny women contraception coverage because he believes depriving women of basic health care is, quote, why the pilgrims came here.
Huh? What?
What?
Salon writing, what a great argument, Tony Perkins. Please, let's base all laws governing women's access to reproductive health care on the ambitions of a group of radical Protestant separatists from the 17th century. That definitely sounds like a great idea that will bode really well for women and people in general. Yeah, religious freedom, blah, blah, blah. That's why the pilgrims came here, he said. The reality is the founders saw us with an aggressive ability to live our lives according to faith. And prevent women from...
Right.
And, well...
Right.
Actually, the pilgrims were kind of religious nut jobs.
Yeah.
So says you.
Well...
You know what? I'm going to make you click on three Sarah Palin War on Christmas ornaments now.
The big deal.
They had some hardcore rules to live under if you were
in the
pilgrim.
I sentence you to listening to Sarah Palin's...
Thou shalt have buckles on everything.
Baubles,
shoes, hats.
Baubles of wisdom. Baubles of war on Christmas wisdom.
You don't have
wisdom.
To be intimidated by the political correctness police.
Right.
The war on Christmas is the tip of the spear in a larger battle to secularize our culture and make true religious freedom a thing of America's past.
See? I could lock
Sadly,
you in here.
There are no Chick-fil-A restaurants in Alaska.
Moose filet, sure. But
spectacular.
Wow.
In her dumbness. All right, 48 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the... Thank you, Jim. Ooh, on mouth percussion. 53 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. We love us some GoToMeeting. Here at the Stephanie Miller Show, had one with Roland, sexy liberal tour director yesterday. You got to be able to meet with your team. Roland lives all the way in that there New York City.
New York City? Just like I pictured it.
Gathering clients and coworkers in the same room for a meeting can be impossible. That's why we use GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. It is the powerfully simple way to meet online from anywhere, anytime. You can share screens to collaborate. Turn on your, my new writer. That it includes a lot of demands this time for sexy liberal.
Yes.
You can just turn on your webcam and make your meeting an HD video conference. It is so easy, even for me, the technologically impaired. Start hosting a GoToMeeting in seconds from your computer or mobile device by signing up for a free 30-day trial. That's right, no credit card required. Just go to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try Free button, use the promo code Stephanie, and right now, I got an Apple Card gift giveaway. As you know, GoToMeeting with HD Faces lets you meet face-to-face no matter where your team is anywhere in the world. What we want to know, where in the world would you host your ideal GoToMeeting? Tweet us a picture of your answer using hashtag WinStephanie at GoToMeeting for a chance to win an Apple gift card. That's valued at $300, sir. Thank you. Towards any Apple hardware or accessory purchase in an Apple retail store or the Apple online store, courtesy of Citrix. Remember, to be eligible to win, you need to tweet us a picture of where in the world you'd host your ideal GoToMeeting. Hashtag WinStephanie at GoToMeeting. Contest ends Tuesday, November 19th. The winner will be announced right here on this here show. Thursday, November 12th, Apple, a registered trademark of Apple Inc. Apple not a participant or sponsor of this promotion. Don't forget to try GoToMeeting free today. Do it.
I would host it from Space Mountain at Disneyland.
You're a geek. Okay. All right. What was that statistic I read earlier, Jim? Speaking of all the crisis chirons, have you seen one about how fast the ocean is warming? Think that has anything to do with typhoons?
Yeah.
For instance, the Philippines typhoon, here's a survivor.
For now, we don't have enough water. Even though we are not sure that it is clean and safe, we still drink for it because we need to survive.
As you were saying, the scene's just horrifying.
Oh my God.
A lot of survivors, obviously, on TV, you know, you're watching them walking among bodies.
We don't have anything to do but to live. We survived the typhoon, and now we're questioning ourselves how to survive. In terms of food, in terms of water.
They're fearing still 10,000 dead. Another survivor yesterday.
A lot of people were dead. Our friends are dead. Some of our family members are dead. So it's really devastating.
God. And one more yesterday on TV.
I am the only survivor of the family, and I want to know them if they are still alive.
By the way, did you see, we were talking about, you know, when do people just become human and not of one, in terms of whether it's partisan or not, but did you see China? So we're giving $5 million in aid and a small army to help the typhoon victims in the Philippines. China is, I guess, pissed at the Philippines over something, territorial dispute, whatever. They're kicking in $100,000. Yes, someone wrote me and said, this will give the likes of Mitt Romney and Michelle Brockman one more reason to admire their favorite totalitarian country, China.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they have something resembling like a tea party, I guess, over there. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, they. All right. We were having some God talk before the break.
We were.
Mm-hmm. Could you take your organ back out? You know what? I have not had time to delve into all the layers of crazy of Rafael Cruz. Ted Cruz's father.
Yeah.
Maybe he's been hitting the Everclear too.
Has he been? That would make more sense. Some of this stuff. He said Obamacare mandates suicide counseling for the elderly and gay marriage is a plot to make government your god.
Huh?
A sermon he delivered in August 2012 came under scrutiny. The event, he asserted Christian true believers are anointed by God to take dominion over the world in every area of society, education, government, and economics. Mm-hmm. He also has endorsed the evangelical belief known as end-time transfer of wealth.
Oh, what's that?
Well, he could just give us his cash now, then, as a prelude to the second coming of Christ.
Oh, my God.
Introducing Cruz to serve as Christian Zionist pastor. Oh, there's a specialty. Said, God's people in his kingdom will begin to rule and reign. I know that's why God got Raphael's son elected.
Right.
Oh, boy. One of those.
The next center. Several Dominionist pastors at a ceremony in Iowa anointed Ted Cruz. They anointed him their king.
What?
He would help usher in the kingdom of Christ.
Okay, then.
All right, we will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.